Pastor Michael, we've been in a season on questions that are all related to the spiritual realm. So today's question is, where are demons most likely to attack?
Oh, man, oh, man. All right. So Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So the idea of demonic attack would be kind of in his nature, you know, of like steal, kill, and destroy. So I've thought about this quite extensively and kind of broke down a framework that has been very helpful for me as a pastor that is consistent with God's word. So kind of nailed it down to seven, the top seven things scriptures teach and then also experience just kind of validates. And what's interesting is that all of these come down to anything that mirrors or points to the gospel or the nature of God. So I think when you understand, first and foremost, that who does Satan hate more than anything else or anybody else? And it would be God. He is in rebellion against God. And so anything that reflects God's nature or reflects God's character or points to the gospel, he seems to have sort of like a unique obsession with destroying. Okay. So seven things, and we'll kind of fly through them. But like, I think it's good for us to understand that any one of these seven categories, you should expect in one way or another that there'll be demonic attack. And if there's a little bit of, or a lot of it, of chaos around any of these, that should be expected. Yeah. Right. So number one would be demons hate Jesus and his gospel. And so it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, it's the Christmas passage that most pastors aren't going to preach on. And we'll read it here, but it's interesting because it says, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. We know that's Satan. And it says this, his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, that's going to be Mary, who's about to give birth to Jesus, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. And it's very striking that like what Revelation is pointing to is that that Satan hates Jesus. And it's why you see there is the approach to kill so many Jewish children throughout the Bible. And why even Herod is like, where do the prophecies say the baby's going to be born? And he's obviously spiritually motivated. Satan fills Judas' heart to betray him to death. You keep going throughout the like scriptures, what you find is that there is an attempt to kill Jesus and to stop the gospel dead in its tracks. It is funny that obviously Satan did not quite understand that when he put Jesus to death, Jesus was actually, that was the plan, and the death was actually going to be the destruction. But that's a different sermon for a different day. Number two, demons hate your body. Well, why do they hate your body and my body? Because our physical bodies are made in the image of God. It's not just our inner person, but our outer person. And so it's not an accident that steal, kill, destroy, murder, these are all part of his nature and character. It's also not an accident that part of the trans movement is mutilation. And so he loves these we'll just call them behaviors, these ideas where it results in the mutilation and the destruction of people's bodies, right? So we need to be, I think, cautious whenever we think about mutilating our bodies, because we have to first ask, if God didn't sanction it, it's very plausibly demonic in nature. Number three is demons hate your mind, especially a redeemed mind, because what we find, and we've handled this in a few other episodes on the spirit realm, but his goal is to infiltrate your mind with cultural mantras, untruths, lies, because a redeemed mind can overcome a whole lot. And so a redeemed mind, one that is growing and submitted to God's word, can see lies from a mile away. And so they don't fall.
Discernment and wisdom.
Like they don't fall for the tricks, you know? It's like what we're doing with our kids. We're trying to build in them a fortified mind so that when the cultural mantras come like missiles, they go, that's stupid. That's not even true. And it's unbiblical and it's illogical and it harms people. Cultural mantras suck. So number four is demons hate your marriage and generally speaking, all romantic relationships. And so what we see is that sexuality, sex is what inaugurates a covenant, the covenant of marriage. It is sacred. It also has the power to create life, literally, and death. We find marriage is created by God to represent the gospel. And so you should not be surprised that your sexuality is under attack. Your sexual attraction is under attack. Your marriage is under attack. Lust is a constant weapon being brought forth to kind of like distract you from being a faithful man or woman to one husband or one wife for life, right?
Yep.
So that's, you should expect that. Number five, demons hate your children. We see that kids have always been the object of demonic attack. Satan hates kids. He hates their purity, their innocence, their potential, all of it. And they're also made in the image of God. He also sees that God, we see this with Christ. We also see this in the law. We also see this just in the general nature of God. He has a special affinity and protection for children. He even has a special class of angels, Matthew 18 teaches, that are for the designated for the protection of children. And so Satan is well aware that God's heart is for the least and for children. And so he has a special hatred for them. So you should not be surprised when he is attempting to destroy your kids through social media or through really bad cultural mantras and ideas about gender and sexuality, or by exposing them at an early age to pornography. So that should not surprise anybody. Yeah. Number six, demons hate your church. This is the bride of Christ. Again, if I hate you and I want to get to you, what's the best way to get to somebody, especially a dude? You get to their wife.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's funny, like, you can say whatever you want to me, but don't talk about my mother and don't talk about my wife. Right. Like, you know, that kind of like idea. And so Satan understands, if I really, really want to express my anger to God, I will go after his bride. So when we fall prey to these ridiculous notions, I love God, I just don't like the church, right? You don't have that option as a Christian.
Right. Yeah.
You now in that moment have proven that you are not smarter than Satan. He got you. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying churches are perfect. They're not perfect. Everywhere you, no marriage is perfect. No person is perfect. You are not perfect. And so the moment you create distance between yourself and the local church, you have fallen prey, you have lost, and now you are a victim. You're another casualty because Jesus loves the church in all of its brokenness and imperfection. Mm-hmm. He still loves the church.
Said. Yeah.
And then number seven is Satan hates your church elders. So numbers one through six, the elders serve as a front line of protection against all of those for the people of God. And so as an elder, one of our desires is to protect marriage, is to protect children, it is to protect sexuality, it is to proclaim the word of God, it is to oversee a culture of holiness where we are dealing with things, where sin is being confronted and addressed. Like, you take the elders out, and now, like, you have an unusual amount of access to the people in your church.
Yeah.
When the elders stop guarding the word of God and crazy ideas start coming out of the pulpit, enabling sin, encouraging sin, causing people to not actually deal with sin in their life, not bringing sin up in the pulpit, not calling people to repentance. You know, you can imagine once you take the elders out of the equation, or you, what's the word I'm looking for, where you you castrate them spiritually and power, you know, like, then you're just, you have a whole church vulnerable to demonic attack.
It's like a city with no walls, as scripture talks about.
Yeah. And there are so many ways to attack a child or a group of elders or a church or a marriage or your sexuality or your physical body. But anytime, and this is interesting, anytime you are watching an attack on any of these, you just need to step back and really ask yourself, okay, what is the origin of this? And we've talked about this in another episode, right? But I think this is a good place to bring it up again. One of the ways we discern a demonic attack, okay, as opposed to something the Holy Spirit is doing, as opposed to something that just our flesh is doing, right? So we have a word. The word for what the Holy Spirit brings is life. Even if you have to break something, you can see that it's in the trajectory of calling somebody towards life. You can discern that it's just the flesh because it's just self-focused. The word is self. It's all about me, myself, I, indulgence, you know. But one of the ways you discern demonic attack, if it appears that the agenda is destruction. If the agenda is destruction, then you're probably dealing with dark spirits at work. And the difference is this, like, if I have to, for example, let's say you do something dumb and I have to confront sin in you, I can confront sin in a way that seeks to destroy you, or I can confront sin in a way that seeks to break sin and build you up.
Yeah.
Those are very, very different methods.
Yep.
And so you can see when one is spirit-led Or I might, like, let's say you're a threat to me, right? This might be self, where I confront you in a way that protects myself. It's not necessarily for your good. I'm not destroying you in the process, but it's just really about self-protection, right? Yeah. Yep. So as you start to kind of watch things, is this moving toward life? Is it moving towards self? Or is it moving toward destruction? Mm-hmm. And so you should expect there are going to be multiple attempts on your body, your marriage, your children, your sexuality, your local church, your elders, to destroy them. Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised. Like, don't lose your mind when that stuff happens, right? And his ways are simple. Look at his names. His tactics are bound up in all of his names. That's up season one, episode one. And that'll give you a little bit of insight into some of his tactics.
I also think this is encouraging for people to hear because it really encourage you to double down on your commitment to all of these things and realize, like you said, you should expect these things. So part of your job as a follower of Jesus is to equip yourself and to always be ready for the battle that is being waged against your mind and against your heart. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think it just like makes you realize like there's so much value in the fight that you're fighting. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, it's not just like, these are just things like these are things that God cares about and that Satan's trying to attack. And so it brings it more into focus for me. And it makes me want to be like really aware.
Yeah.
And also to double down on my commitment that I'm actually when I'm taking care of my body or I'm taking care of my kids or really loving my wife well. Like those are actually ways where I'm actively fighting against the demonic realm. Yep. And it adds a whole extra layer of like why I do
motivation.
Motivation. Yeah. Absolutely.
There have been like, we'll call them like chapters in my life that each new chapter sort of gives me a new appreciation. So the first one is like, you get married, right? And you realize, okay, I have to figure out how to love this woman. And nobody knows how to be married when they're young. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to learn into it. And then you have kids and you're like, whoa, now I got to protect these children. And when I became a pastor and an elder, I was like, I got to protect this church. And then, you know, when I let my body get away from myself, I was like, oh, I got to really actually protect my body because I can't do those other things if I'm not protecting my body, you know? And then I'm like my marriage and then my sexuality. And then I'm like my mind, like, man, like, so it's interesting because every time I've been tasked with the responsibility to protect something, you realize how vulnerable and under attack those things really are. Mm-hmm. And so there's this little part of me that's like, you know, kind of a way to be like, you know, I'm going to get you back. I'm gonna read the word. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna study it and I'm gonna teach it to my people.
Yep.
You know, and I'm gonna try to love my wife to the best of my ability. And he hates it. I'm going to be a present father who loves his kids, preaches the gospel to them, forgives them, apologizes, and does all the things that hopefully a good dad is supposed to be. Imperfection for sure. But like, you know what? Every time I'm like present with my kids, he just hates it.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like reinstilling in them that like God loves them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach my kids how to protect their brains against cultural mantras. And I'm gonna teach our church that as well. I'm going to call it for what it is. And we're going to do a podcast on this and make sure that at every single level, everybody knows his dumb tactics. And it's sort of this great way. Like when you love these people, your wife, your kids, your body, your mind, your church, it sort of becomes like a game. Like, I'm just going to do everything I can to get in front of you.
Yep.
Because you're still going to go after these things, right? But I'm going to give them all the fortification that they need.
Yep.
So that if they still go chop off parts of their body or give their brains over to sexual immorality, at the very least, I did everything I could to give them a fighting chance. It is when the leaders stop protecting that the people become vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ever stop that. But it's kind of a fun, like, it is. It's like a different level of motivation, you know? Like,
and it makes no decision, no thoughts, no relationship is inconsequential when it comes to the battle that's being waged, both spiritually and in our lives and when we're on mission for God's kingdom, right? So there's nothing, every little decision you make to protect your mind and to not look at that thing that you shouldn't look at or to love someone well, like nothing's inconsequential and everything matters whenever we're trying to follow Jesus and be faithful to him.
So, amen, dude. Amen. Well, as men, let's keep being strong. And that's why I want to call up our men and invest in our kids and students, invest in our families and marriage and not burn ourselves out in ministry so that, you know, like all of the above, right?
Yep.
So,
and if you're listening and watching, like pray for your elders, pray for your leaders and pray for one another. So thank you for the training on that.